Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, September the 4th, 2018. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us safely here, that we continue to study and to see around us, as we always say, the fulfillment of your word. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us as we continue to prepare for the time to come, as we look forward to that great day when we shall be in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in our last session, we began to take a look at a book written by Avro Manhattan. The title of the book was Vietnam, Why Did We Go? And then the subtext of that article, that book, is The Religious Beginnings of an Unholy War, The Shocking Story of the Catholic Church's Role in Starting the Vietnam War. And as setting in by Avro Manhattan. Now, Avro Manhattan, we've discussed, was the world's foremost authority on Roman Catholicism and politics. A resident of London, during World War II, he operated a radio station called Radio Freedom, broadcasting to occupied Europe. He was the author of over 20 books, including the bestseller, The Vatican and World Politics. Twice that was Book of the Month, and has already gone through 57 editions. He was a Briton who risked his life daily to expose some of the darkest secrets of the papacy. Now, what we took a look at last time, we took a look at chapter 1. First, we read from his preface in that book, and this is how he opened up the preface. The political and military origin of the War of Vietnam has been described with millions of written and spoken words, yet nothing has been said about one of the most significant forces which contributed to its promotion, namely the role played by religion, which in this case means the part played by the Catholic Church and by her diplomatic counterpart, the Vatican. And in our last session, we took a look at chapter 1, a brief look, a snapshot. And chapter 1 is entitled The Preliminaries. It describes the coming together of France and Hitler and the whole nine yards. And then we took a look at chapter 2, the Vatican-American Grand Alliance. What is interesting about that is that you do not hear much about that today, or any of that today. And some of these books are pretty difficult to lay hands on. And there's an obvious reason why that is so, because the information they contain, there are those who would prefer that it remains hidden. Now, if you haven't heard the last session, September the 3rd, 2018, I would suggest that you go to the website, timewashministries.com, take a look at the recordings under September, and you will be able to listen to that that program. Now, if you would prefer to get your hands on the book, let me give you the name of the book again. Vietnam, Why Did We Go? The Religious Beginnings of an Unholy War, The Shocking Story of the Catholic Church's Role in Starting the Vietnam War. One of the things that I believe would be worth repeating is the fact that that the United States of America had been manipulated into becoming involved in that war. And, of course, one of the reasons why the subject came up in my mind again is because of the fact that John McCain has been just passed on, and he was a very, very involved individual who did the best he knew how to do for the United States of America. But of course, as Avro Manhattan makes the point, he makes the point over and over again, that the United States of America was indeed manipulated into following and becoming involved in that conflict. Now today, I'd like to continue to take a look at that book, Vietnam, Why Did We Go? And before I go to chapter 9, which I think is important, and when I go through these chapters, I just give you a snapshot. It's not possible to read all of the chapter in any given broadcast. But before we go to chapter 9, I'd like to read for you Revelation chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. This is incredibly relevant. Starting at verse 15, it says, "The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing." Now, of course, Revelation chapter 18 describes the destruction of the beast, ultimately. The mark, the beast itself, the Catholic Church being completely destroyed. Verse 16, "And saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city?" Now, of course, we're talking about the Vatican here. "And they cast dust on their heads and cried weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in one hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." And then verse 24, which is the reason why I read all of those verses, it says, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." Ponder that verse for a moment when you get a chance today. "And in her were found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." So today we continue to look at chapter 9, Vietnam, Why Did We Go? Now, of course, let me give you the year of that war first before we start. The Vietnam War was a protracted conflict beginning in 1954. And it pitted the communist government of North Vietnam and its allies in South Vietnam, known as the Viet Cong, against the government of South Vietnam and its principal ally, the United States. All right, chapter 9. It's entitled "The Pious Twelve, Cardinal Spellman, Secretary of State John Foster Dulles, Secret Scheme." Here's the chapter. The ultimate objectives of the operation, in addition to those already described, were two. One, the creation of a solid, homogeneous Catholic community upon which Diem and the U.S., now Diem was supposed to be the president of South Vietnam, Diem and the U.S. could rely for the prosecution of the war against the North and against domestic guerrilla units. The erection of a Catholic-controlled state from which the Vatican could operate its many-branched religious administration in Asia. The U.S., as the Vatican's principal ally, supported both objectives insofar that it regarded them the necessary instruments via which it could carry out its main strategy. At this stage, its goals being the hastening of the end of the Vietnamese War, the future pacification and subsequent stabilization of the entire region. While to the Vatican, these objectives in political and military terms were worthy of support, yet behind and beyond them, it had a scheme of far more import than either, As far as its long-range religious global policy was concerned, the scheme could be summarized in the setting of a model Catholic state in the heart of Southeast Asia. Its creation entailed an administration which was totally Catholic, which was inspired by a nucleus of Catholics, which were 100% reliable religiously and ideologically, notwithstanding the fact that they had to rule a vast majority which practiced Buddhism. The achievement of this goal necessitated first, the neutralization of those who might object to the scheme, secondly, the elimination of those who would actively oppose it, and ultimately the removal of anyone or anything which did not accept the Catholicization of South Vietnam. So notice what Diem and South Vietnam had in mind: to eradicate Buddhism, to put in place, as they were hoping to restore in the entire world, a Catholic state in South Vietnam. Continuing. The scheme had been the brainchild of Pope Pius XII, and had been supported by Cardinal Spellman, and had been abetted by John Foster Dulles. It had been approved by sundry U.S. politicians of the inner circle of the Catholic lobby in Washington, not to mention by certain elements of the CIA, many of whom were non-Catholics. Also, by certain political strategists at the Pentagon, whose main concern was that as long as the scheme served American strategic objectives, everything would be fine. That the U.S. was behind this incredible sectarian operation was demonstrated by the fact that the U.S. mission itself set up the Vietnam Bureau of Investigations. This opened paramilitary unit was supported by a rural Catholic militia composed of more than 40,000 men. Every echelon of Diem's new administration was filled with practicing Catholics. To make sure that only Catholics got all the key positions, Diem terminated the 500-year democratic tradition of the local villages by which chiefs were elected by the population and replaced them with the Catholics who had arrived from the north. His personal slogan was, "Put your Catholic officers in sensitive places. They can be trusted." So see what Diem was trying to do here. Set up Vietnam as a Catholic state. Okay, let's go to chapter 10. And as I said before, the little amount that I read in each chapter is just a snapshot. The chapters are much longer. But let's take a look at chapter 10 and see what that says. The title of chapter 10 is The Promotion of Catholic Totalitarianism. Having consolidated the state machinery with loyal Catholics, and feeling sure of their loyalty, not to mention of the tacit and indeed active support of his protector, the U.S., Diem took the second step to make his dream come true. He undertook a systematic and well-calculated policy against non-Catholic religions. His policy was directed at the neutralization, disruption, and final elimination of the Buddhists or Buddhist-inspired religions of Vietnam. These sects, many opposing each other on religious and political grounds, could nevertheless equal and indeed effectively oppose any Catholic administration had they created a united front. Diem's policy was a subtle one. He encouraged their dissension. This he did by giving bribes, by sending agents into their midst, by promising official protection, and by denying the same to others. The result became apparent in no time. The religious sects fell into the Diem camp. They began to fight one another with increasing bitterness. This culminated with the intermedicine religious political feud between the Binh Yung and the Hau Hau and the Cao Dai groups. Their enmity was not only religious, it was concretely real. Their battle was a bloody one. At one time, various quarters of Saigon itself were devastated. The Buddhists set up a committee to give aid to the victims. Diem suppressed that at once. The struggles between the opposing religious political rivals gave a sound excuse to Diem to do what he had in mind a long time ago. He set about to arrest the leading members of the hostile religions. The arrests eliminated the most potentially dangerous of his opponents. As a result, In due course, opposition from the religious quarter had almost vanished. Having made sure that the indigenous religious political opponents had been neutralized, Diem then took a step further, the consolidation of his political power. To that effect, he organized a referendum and replaced Bo Dai, who until then had been the official head of the government. Thereupon, he proclaimed a Republic of Vietnam. Having succeeded in this on October the 22nd, 1955, he became, or rather he made himself, its president. The next year, October 26, 1956, he promulgated a new constitution, imitating Mussolini, Hitler, and also Antipavelić of Catholic Croatia, not to mention Franco of Catholic Spain and Salazar of Catholic Portugal. He inserted an article, Article 98, which gave him full dictatorial powers. The article read in part as follows. During the first legislative term, the president, that is Diem, may decree a temporary suspension of or any of the civil liberties of the nation to meet the legitimate demands of public security. The article should have expired in April 1961, but it was maintained indefinitely. So that's what he did. Built a total and absolute Catholic state in Vietnam. Created all kinds of conflicts between the non-Catholic religions and brought the United States of America in to protect him and his regime. As I said before, the United States were totally unaware at the time of the manipulation that Diem was involved in. Finally today, I want to take a look at Chapter 11, because I'm sure that you didn't know that Chapter 11 in this book would include you. The title of the chapter is Consolidation of Terrorism. Here's the chapter. Whereas a democracy is inspired by certain basic democratic principles, and a communist dictatorship is erected upon the tenets of Marxism, so Catholic totalitarianism must be promoted by the doctrines enacted by the Catholic Church. Because of this, Diem became determined to create a model Catholic state in Southeast Asia. The tenets which inspired him most were embodied in the social teachings of three of Diem's favorites, Pope Leo XIII, Pope Pius IX, and Pope Pius XI. Diem took the teachings of these popes literally. For instance, he firmly held, as Pope Pius IX declared in his Syllabus of Errors, that it is an error to believe that the Church is not a true and perfect society. For the Church to be perfect, the state must be integrated with her so that the two become as one. Because, quoting again Pius IX, it is an error to believe that the Church ought to be separated from the state and state from the Church, a principle which went totally against the Constitution of the U.S., his sponsor. Elements preventing such union, therefore, had to be eliminated. These meant the Protestants, at that time numbering about 50,000, mostly Baptists and Seventh-day Adventists. Now, let me read that again for you so you'll get it. Now, we're talking about 1954, we're talking about Vietnam, but he has decided that in order for him to really have a strong Catholic state, there are certain elements that must be gotten rid of because they tend to prevent his union. Elements preventing such union, therefore, had to be eliminated. These meant the Protestants, at that time, numbering about 50,000, mostly Baptists and Seventh-day Adventists. Diem had planned to eliminate them chiefly via legislation, by prohibiting their missions, closing their schools, and refusing licenses to preach, to have religious meetings. This he would have done legally in accordance with the future concordat to be signed with the Vatican, modeled upon that of Franco Spain. Such anti-Protestant legislation would have been enforced once the war was over and a Catholic state had been firmly established. That this was no mere speculation, curiously enough, was confirmed at that period in London, England. The present author at that time lived only a few hundred yards from the embassy of South Vietnam, Victoria Road, Kensington. He called at the embassy a number of times to find out the reason for Diem's regime harassing certain disruptive Buddhist sects. Documenting all the official legislation that he had. And he was finally able to put in place most of those things that he desired most to do. The official explanation was that the Buddhists were prosecuted not on religious grounds, but on political grounds. When the present author mentioned the Protestants, an official explanation that they were a special case. Since they were Christians, their prosecution would be justified once the domestic situation had become normal, on the ground that a state, in this case the Catholic state of South Vietnam, had to be inspired by the tenets upon which it was founded. A perfect Catholic state, therefore, could not tolerate Protestants nor Christians who did not believe in the uniqueness of the Catholic Church. This, it should be pointed out, was at the time when Pope John the 23rd had launched the era of ecumenism. Now notice the years we're talking about here, because Pope John the 23rd was head of the Catholic Church and sovereign of the Vatican City State from the 28th of October 1958 to his death in 1963. All right. So you notice that at this time, not that long ago, the Baptists, the Seventh-day Adventists, and all of these Protestants who would normally stand against the church, the idea was to get rid of them. And one of the ways of getting rid of them that they had planned was prohibiting their missions, closing their schools, refusing licenses to preach or to have religious meetings. Now you and I need to understand that in spite of the fact that we have this belief today that Rome has changed, I want you to understand that you just have to go back to the 1960s. During the time of Pope John the 23rd, you just have to go back a few years and you'll see that that animosity held against the people of God, held against the church, which keeps the commandments of God, and have the faith of Jesus, was as strong as ever during the Inquisition. Now, there is much more to this book that we can't take a look at today, but I'd like you to understand that because that attitude has not changed, we have been warned in advance of its return. You and I need to be ready for that time so that we will be able to stand. Remember the book that I'm reading from? The title of the book is Vietnam, Why Did We Go? The Religious Beginnings of an Unholy War, the Shocking Story of the Catholic Church's Role in Starting the Vietnam War. You and I need to understand that what God has done for us is warned us way in advance so that we might see what is coming to pass. Again, let me mention the fact that this whole concept occurred to me in the context of our dear John McCain, who has recently passed on and has been buried and has done his best to defend the United States and to fight on behalf of truth. You and I need to understand also that based upon the writings of this historian, the United States of America was tricked into becoming a part of this conflict. And they did everything. As a matter of fact, let me read it for you. With an immense collection of facts, photos, names, and dates, Manhattan proves that the Vietnam War began as a religious conflict. He shows how America was manipulated into supporting Catholic oppression in Vietnam, supposedly to fight communism. Today, even today, most of these facts remain hidden. But God has revealed in the writings of this historian much of what we need to understand so that we might anticipate and be ready for the time to come, so that we might stand with and for our Lord and Master. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to warn, that you continue to educate, that you continue to show us the things that need to be prepared for. We place ourselves again in your care, asking that you would continue to walk with us daily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, September the 4th, 2018.